Hello and welcome to the ICIS Europe Chemical Update podcast. I'm Chris Barker from the UK, and with me today is Senior Editor Manager Bill Bowen from Houston. So we're going to be talking about the global and local trends in the PVC markets, which has tightened severely in October following production issues, and has then taken a further hit from a new wave of force majeure announcements in Europe. So hi, Bill.
Good morning, Chris.
Good
Or
morning.
good
Well,
afternoon.
good afternoon to me. Good morning to you. Yes. So we're just going to talk through some of the recent trends in September and early October. Then we're going to kind of cover what's happened over the past week or so, and the effect that might have on the market in the future. Right. So trends in September. So after the market earlier in the year, as far as PVC was concerned, demand was severely weakened during the second quarter coronavirus-related shutdowns and pandemic. And the overall effects of the pandemic on industries like construction and the automotive industry. So demand has since rebounded. So by sort of August, September, we were seeing relatively normal levels of demand. The most recent Eurostat figures we have are from July on the construction market, which showed it was down 4% compared to the previous year. So that's clearly it's still down somewhat compared to the previous year, but considerably better than the minus 30% that we had in the second quarter for construction activity and demand. So the market was already moving in a slightly tighter direction, just based on the demand trends. But then in late August, we had a feedstock issue at Raffness, which supplies several of Inovin's major PVC plants. So that affected a total of 642,000 tons per year of Inovin capacity, so nearly 10% of the entire European PVC capacity. So this happened to take place around the same time as another issue with a smaller producer, Spolana, which had a reactor problem affecting its plant in the Czech Republic. And also, we had some additional shutdowns with a producer Vinnova, which had two planned maintenance turnarounds. And Inovin had another unrelated production issue, a PVC production issue at Rheinberg in the same time period. So there were several production issues, and the market in September was already pretty tight. Not helped by the fact that the global market was considerably tighter due to various issues, which Bill will cover. In general, we seem to have had some maintenance turnarounds pushed later into the year following this pandemic, due to logistics issues, which prevented turnarounds from taking place in their initially kind of scheduled times. Potentially, maybe there was also some degree of teething problems, because rates were lower during the pandemic and the low demand, and then bringing them back up to normal levels kind of caused some effects, and it took a while for things to return to fully normal. And prices for September were already increasing. So we had flat ethylene prices, but an increase of 50 to 45 euros per ton for the September contract price in Northwest Europe. So there's pretty big jump against feedstocks in relative terms. And export prices had already reached the highest level since June 2011, around the sort of late September, early October period. So the market September, early October was already, I would say, really tight, and had some considerable, there wasn't really any area where you could point to which was telling you that that things were loosening up. I mean, the global market, as I mentioned, there's no relief there because of lack of availability from the US. Bill, I mean, maybe you could kind of set the scene on your side as well and talk about the situation in the US and the global markets during that time period.
Yes, of course we had the same kind of decrease in or collapse of demand practically in April and May due to the coronavirus lockdowns. And what we've since seen is an astonishing rebound in demand. The US market has basically experienced the so-called V-shaped recovery, and domestic demand is now higher than it was this time last year. So we went through the summer with strong domestic demand and constrained production rates as demand for caustic soda has weakened. Then in August, at the end of August, Hurricane Laura came through the U.S. Gulf and knocked out a giant Westlake feedstock complex in Lake Charles, Louisiana, that the 980,000 tons a year production capacity in VCM from Westlake's complex there feeds feedstock to PVC plants in three states, in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Kentucky. So that really put a constraint on supply, and Formosa Plastics declared force majeure on an also in August on an unspecified upstream technical problem. So Westlake subsequently declared force majeure on all of its North American PVC and VCM production. Formosa already had in place force majeure on plants in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and at Point Comfort, Texas, plants totaling 800,000 tons a year in production capacity. So the U.S. market has tightened up considerably in August and September on these force majeures, and prices since May have risen $620 a ton for FOB export.
Wow.
With strong demand in Latin America, Asia, and elsewhere, and U.S. producers are only able to supply sort of existing established customers and are and also picking their business deals where they can gain the largest netbacks, which is primarily has been Latin America, some to Turkey and India and Asia as well, where they do have established relationships. I say this every time we talk, but the U.S. producers export 30% of their total production. So the U.S., because of the low-cost shale, ethane and ethylene, has become and has ambitions to become a supplier to the world for PVC and other plastic resins. So the global markets are important. And then now I understand, Chris, that just in the recent few days, there's now two force majeures in Europe.
Yeah, that's exactly correct, Bill. So what we had was in this already kind of tight market with this tight domestic market in Europe with tight global availability as well. As you mentioned, prices just reaching near record levels and shooting up to, 1200 to 1200 CFR and even higher in some cases. So since then, we just this week we've had two new force majeure announcements at Shin-Etsu and Ken-1, which actually occurred on the same day, which is 13th of October. So Shin-Etsu declared force majeure on its Pernis plant, and Ken-1 declared force majeure at Ballon and Symphon's. The Ken-1 issue was caused by issues in delivering VCM on the Rhone, and the Shin-Etsu issue was related to a lack of utilities. So these three plants rather have all affected. So that's almost 1 million tons of PVC capacity which are involved with this. Which is almost 14% of the total European capacity. As for the outlook for when it might be resolved, the Shin-Etsu issue is relatively the there's some optimism that might be resolved by the weekend, so around the 17th or 18th of October. For Ken-1, it's expected to persist until week 44, so the week of 26th of October. Buyers are seeing allocations from Shin-Etsu reduced to 25% of normal. Severe shortage of PVC in the short term. So yeah, it's important to bear in mind this is already a tight market. Buyers were already accepting increases of 50, 70 euros per ton for October, just in order to secure material, despite the falling ethylene prices. So now we're hearing that buyers are willing to accept plus 70 euros a ton just to ensure that they have a supply of PVC, because producers are kind of picking and choosing and allocating volumes just based on the fact that supply in the market is so short. Another issue is that stocks are also low for PVC. So many buyers already ran through them in September because they thought that in October that the situation might ease somewhat and that availability might improve. But instead, it seems that the exact opposite has happened, and even more capacity is now impacted, and we still have the existing market. So we still have the Vynova maintenance turnaround, and the Spalana shutdown is not expected to be resolved until the end of the month. The Innova is a different issue, which I'll cover later in this conversation. But yeah, overall, it's a tight market, and now you're just tightening the winch another step tighter. So it's almost an unprecedented situation as far as tightness is concerned, I would say.
It is. In the US, contracts for September took $100, $110 a ton increases, according to the ICIS assessment, and have risen by 13 cents a pound, or about $287 a ton since May. So we expect the tight supply now to continue. Westlake is in the process of restarting its the Lake Charles complex, which includes about 1.3 million tons a year of chloralkali production, large EDC and VCM plants with VCM capacity of about 980,000 tons a year, and is expected that they'll have that now up and running despite another hurricane that passed through the area last week.
Oh,
That they'll have that up and running before the end of October, in the next week or so perhaps. But it will take a little bit longer to get the VCM via pipeline to the PVC plants that it supplies and return them to full capacity. Formosa, meanwhile, is believed to be supplying about 80% of its production capacity from Baton Rouge and Point Comfort. But their problems, they added to their force majeure. The first force majeure was on suspension grade material, which is, of course, the vast majority of the merchant market business. But they expanded the force majeure to include their emulsion grade material. So, which seemed to be just last week. So it seems that they have not figured out their technical problem, or have not been able to resolve it yet. And it's believed that they're behind on orders to customers. So that it's going to take them, once they do get production returned, it's going to take them a bit to catch up. The same with Westlake. If they get production going in by November, by the 1st of November, it's expected that they'll be able to offer some export material. In fact, they are offering November export allocations. So we expect some relief, supply relief in November for exports. But we expect it to continue to remain a fairly tight market through the end of the year. Domestic demand in the US, construction activity is back up to almost the level of last year. There's been an increase in home improvement projects, with people staying at home and not spending on vacation and not going out to eat at restaurants. They have money to spend, and they're doing it to improve their work from home environments. So there's been a great increase in demand for flooring and other things, outdoor features, increasing demand for PVC to beyond what the usual, and that's expected to continue for the rest of the year. So we don't expect to see the usual drop off in supply that happened, I mean, in demand that happens in November on seasonal factors, because of so much demand has been pent up on the lack of supply.
That's interesting. Yeah, so you expect you're seeing somewhat higher demand then compared to what you would be in a normal year.
Yes, the U.S. and Canada domestic sales are above that of the same months last year for August and September, and which was surprised even the domestic producers, until this sort of at home improvement phenomenon became clear when the big home improvement stores reported second quarter earnings at 30% higher than last year. That they realized that it was indeed a significant phenomenon.
That's impressive. I mean, particularly considering it would offset any impact from the coronavirus on consumption and downstream activity in that regard.
It seems to have brought it back to just about balance with last year. Even though there was a sharp drop off in April, May, the cumulative rebound over the past 3 or 4 months has helped just about bring us back to the 2019 levels.
Wow, yeah. But the sort of relief you were talking about regarding supply, that's more happening in November then, in your kind of point of view.
Right. It looks like October is going to continue to be tight. Only two U.S. producers are offering export volumes for that for October, and that's OxyChem and Shintech. Shintech is entering a turnaround right now at in Plaquemine, Louisiana. But the company says it has inventories to handle its contract obligations and continues to offer limited volumes for exports. So we expect Westlake to be back to near normal in November, and in Formosa remains a question mark.
I think in Europe it's very much a similar kind of situation. I think October is clearly going to be tight. Around November and December we're going to hit the lower season with the colder weather, so demand is going to be a bit lower around then, which would maybe balance the market from that direction in a way. There's another factor with the coronavirus cases, which are rising in Europe. So for example, in the UK they hit about 19,000 yesterday, I believe. So obviously, if we have new lockdowns and or greater restrictions on travel and business activity, that could put us back to the closer to the April situation, where demand was severely impacted by the lockdowns, the coronavirus related lockdowns. I don't think anyone's expecting full lockdowns, though. Governments are very resistant to the idea due to the potentially devastating effects on the economy, and they don't really want to kind of go through the same situation where they would have to shut down everything and kind of restart it from scratch afterwards.
Yes, it's good that you mentioned that, because that is the big hazard out there that's sort of unquantifiable. There's also a resurgence of cases in the U.S. Right now, it seems to be in the more removed states, the smaller population states in the West, but it still could, of course, have economic impacts.
Yeah, I think again, I think it's a big unknown factor in a way, because it's sort of a natural disaster, isn't it? I mean, it's like an earthquake or an avalanche, which you don't really know the course of it.
Right.
And yeah, it's not really amenable to plans, because nobody knows exactly when certain things are going to happen, for like a vaccine, for example.
Right. The projections are completely at odds with each other. There's no consensus on going forward about how it's going to play out.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, one sort of slightly brighter spot in Europe for availability is with the Raffness plants, the Raffness VCM plant, which is owned by Inovyn. So the utilization issues at the plant have now been mostly resolved, according to our sources. Although the force majeure hasn't lifted, so Inovyn's production on PVC should now be able to increase. However, the company, there'll still be after effects from the impact of the reduced production from the company. So they still have a backlog of orders, I believe, or production due to the reductions before.
Right.
And of course, I mean, even if you count all of the production affected by the Raffness issue, that still wouldn't equal the amount which has been impacted by the new force majeure declaration. So there's an even larger amount of capacity which is now impacted by the current production situation.
Yes, and all of that, I guess, I think works against the kind of typical slowdown and easing on cost pressure that we see at the end of the year. So I think we're looking at the rest of the year to be fairly tightly supplied, and with relatively firm demand compared to the usual seasonal dynamics.
I think that's probably true in a European context as well. I mean, October is definitely October is certainly tight. I don't see any way it couldn't be tight in the current situation, and clearly there will be after effects later in the year. I mean, as far as demand goes, I think there isn't expected to be the same kind of surge that you're talking about in the US. Although we have seen an increase, I believe, in usage for DIY and kind of home usage for PVC, which is significant. I think we're looking at a tight rest of the year, probably.
I'm hoping for a better 2021.
In many ways, yes, Bill, I agree. Well, anyway, thanks very much for talking through this with me, Bill.
It's always a pleasure.
And for me as well, yes. For you listening, please join us again for the next installment of our ICIS Europe Chemical Updates, or catch up with all the latest news at icis.com. For ICIS here in London, I'm Chris Barker.